Wow, so this is all history. I'm just just thankful that everything here is first time. So yesterday I finally got the our washer working. And then I washed my clothes and it was the first time I said, "Wow, this is the first time washing has happened in this place." But anyway, my Thanksgiving is actually at work because I didn't know when you buy a washing machine, behind it there's this stopper. It keeps the internal rotating machine, part of the machine, from just shaking all over the place. So they lock four corners. And so if you're going to use it, when you use it, you have to take that out. But if you don't take it out, the whole machine just jumps. And oh my God, I went on top of the machine to keep it from jumping. But I was jumping with the machine. And then I went to the internet and said, if you don't do this, the warranty will be voided because it'll break the machine. If you don't take the stoppers out, then it's going to just ruin the machine, they said. Oh my goodness. So I took the four stoppers out and then everything ran smoothly. So those of you who have not bought a washing machine before, used ones are okay because they probably took it out. But if you buy a new one, you have to take the stoppers out. And then it'll run smoothly. It'll run very smoothly. Anyway, I think there's a spiritual lesson there. Something about there's some blockages in our lives that could make our lives a turmoil. But when you remove those stoppers one by one, it could bless your life. Anyway, that's just a spiritual lesson. But anyway, today's topic is empower spirit and with deep conviction. We know this statement comes from 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And I thought of this topic. And actually, I've already spoke on it. Okay, there's something in the thing here. Can you? I hope. Are you seeing me? Okay, so something's there. Okay, very good. So anyway, by the way, I spoke on this for the college ministry on Wednesday a week or two ago, but I thought this, I think, also will help our church with the professional together. And so I'm doing a retake on the message. But it's okay. It's legit. Paul says, I don't mind repeating it over and over again. If it's something important, he didn't mind repeating it to make sure that it's emphasized and remembered. But the reason why I thought of this recently is because I was talking with a brother, and we were talking about recent training with me and Bing, Brother Bing, on evangelism. And he was commenting something about Bing and his team of evangelists. He has gathered together about a team of 15 people meeting together once a month to evangelize or to be trained in evangelism. So he was saying, it's interesting how Brother Ving and his team are not very well trained, but they are really passionate for evangelism. And so Ving has to teach them how to share the bridge, how to memorize verses, how to have quiet time, how to obey even. So he's kind of discipling them along with the training of evangelism. But they're not very well prepared. They just come from a church background. But they surely have a lot of passion. And then this brother mentioned, I won't divulge his name. He said, strangely, our ministry sometimes, I think we're very well trained, but we don't have as much passion. We know how to have quiet time. We memorize a lot of verses. We went through VSET, all kinds of training, STP, ETP. But somehow the passion that he saw in Brother Ving and his team is not sometimes present in our lives, in our ministry. So I don't think we could generalize that. You know, different people have different passion. And so, but he was just probably kind of comparing of the passion that he saw in Brother Ving and the team that he's leading. So the immediate thought that came to mind after that statement is, well, according to Apostle Paul, for him, he didn't come to Thessalonica with just words, but he came with power, spirit, and deep conviction. And so that just came to mind. I shared with the brother, Dan, and that, well, that's something we need to talk about. Because in the light of the hope for soul-saving passion, but also it's actually related to our message last week and about how God has given us a calling and a gift and the leadership gift to church leaders to equip the church for the work of service. Work of service. Work of service is, you know, the service of the kingdom for the growth and the expansion of the kingdom and for the building up of the church. And so this all related with soul saving, making disciples, you know, speaking the truth in love to grow into the fullness of Christ. It says that we would grow into the unity of faith, knowledge of Son, mature man, measure of full stature. This speaks to the maturity of each individual and the church growing in maturity. So I mentioned last week, we need to be sober-minded about what gifts God has given us. God has given us certain gifts that, and in Romans it says, discern soberly your gift according to the grace God has given to you and apply them wholeheartedly. If service in your serving, if in your leading, in your leadership, in your giving, in your generosity. Just be wholehearted in exercising your gift. And then I also talked about, even as we should be sober about the grace given to us according for our gifts, we need to be sober-minded in discerning the grace that we have received and where we are in the unity of faith, where we are in the knowledge of the Son, where we are in the mature man, you know, the maturity and the full measure of Christ. So we need to be sober-minded about our maturity. So we accepted Christ and, you know, experienced God and we've been learning, but we need to kind of be also sober-minded. Hey, I'm kind of young. I still need to grow. And I've been around and I know some stuff, but you know, I still need to grow this. I still need to grow that. So we need to be sober-minded because just because we have gifts doesn't mean it's automatic. Part. So we see that Paul demonstrated his maturity just even in his ministry to the Thessalonians. And and we know about the Church of Thessalonians. Paul visited Thessalonia only for 3 weeks, and I said this many times and talked about it, and I'm still amazed by it. He stayed in Thessalonica only 3 weeks, and with his gospel preaching in a kind of a context of difficulty, there was a lot of opposition in Thessalonica. But he said he worked night and day. He worked night and day to bring the full message of Jesus Christ, and he demonstrated even just his zeal. His heart for them, just the fullness of Christ with them, such that the Thessalonians saw that and they imitated him. Because Paul came in verse 5, says, for our gospel did not come to you with words only, but also in power and in the spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. So there is a mature, I mean, he's talking about, he didn't come just with words of truth. He came with power, spirit, and full conviction, and their lives. They expressed, I mean, they brought all these message of Christ in the fullness of their lives. And you became imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. So in the way Paul came with his passion, power, spirit, and deep conviction, and his life, you know, he had such maturity that it just impacted them powerfully. And it doesn't mean we need to be like Paul necessarily to impact people, but greater the maturity, I believe that there's greater power and impact. So what I wanted to just do is just to reflect on what is deep conviction, what is the spirit, what is the power that Paul is talking about. He didn't just come in words. And definitely we evangelize sharing the gospel. If you know how to share the gospel bridge, and oh, I'd like to thank God for having a few guys here who recently believed. We have, the most recent is Jackie here. Oh, I forgot to say, another Thanksgiving this week was basketball. We had old people versus young people. So Jackie accepted Christ about a couple of weeks ago. And then we have Sayub over there. He accepted Christ about a month ago. More than a month ago, because we finished our five assurances and we did two more weeks. So 7 weeks. Oh my. So what was the point that I was making? I forgot. I'm thankful that these guys came. Oh yeah. It's because of sharing the gospel, sharing the bridge, right? So sharing the bridge, I could train people through VSET and STP. People could learn how to share the gospel in words. So the sharing part is not a problem. You get training, everybody can eventually learn how to do it. But with what kind of life are you coming with? So I think there is that message and the messenger. So we're talking about the messenger right now. What kind of maturity and power and conviction is the messenger coming with? And so we're all at different level. I mean, even for myself, I definitely don't equate myself with Apostle Paul. I said I have this much power, but I need some more power. Pray for your pastor that I would have more power that Apostle Paul has fully revealed in Thessalonians. So I'm speaking from being one of you, wanting to grow in it. But he said he didn't come just simply in words, but he came in power, Holy Spirit, and full conviction. So what I decided to do is different from the college ministry preaching, is I'm going to go backwards. What does it mean with deep conviction? Is that right? Oh, yes, I'm going backward with deep conviction. Well, it says in Luke 24. John 16. Oh yeah, no. Wait a minute. That's two. Okay, so John 16:8. It says John 16:8 describes what the Holy Spirit does, and it says, "And he, when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment." Righteousness and judgment. So, you know, power, spirit, and deep conviction is all kind of like intermixed. When a person is touched by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, what the Holy Spirit does is deeply convicts a person of sin. And when a person is convicted of sin, they experience God. There is a personal experience of God. And I hope Jackie don't mind talking about him. recently, after he received Jesus, I think that weekend you said it was kind of a dark time.
Yeah.
And you spent some time confessing your sin. And then afterwards you felt
better.
Better. So somehow refreshed, something like that. Better and refreshed. So you experienced something in being convicted and then repenting. So for us Christians, we don't just do it once when we accept Christ. We need to continue to live a life of discipline of repentance, changing a mind, and confessing our sin. So Holy Spirit convicting us and repenting of our sin, there is an experience of God that brings passion. So I think, something that I think can be an extension of what deep conviction leads to is passion. When the Holy Spirit deeply convicts us and we are convicted, repented, then we experience God and that leads to genuine passion. Righteousness. I was talking with one of my Pastor Paul Lee, Paul Choi, not Paul Lee. He came and he was talking about, he wanted to rent our building. I said, oh, maybe not now. Sorry to say. And then, but he said, our church is about 25 people and we really love the word. And he said, my guys are godly men. They love the word. They're passionate for the word. So they're passionate for the word. And I said, wow, that's great. Our guys are passionate for the word too. But it seems like they had more passion. So I said, well, I don't know what you're doing, but I want more passion for God's word, And so somehow the Holy Spirit convicts a person in sin, righteousness, even judgment of what God has done on the cross and what is to come in the future, the judgment. Especially the revelation, judgment that's going to unfold in the book of Revelation. I'm trying to go deeper in Revelation, and every Revelation teacher is saying, you need to study and know what Revelation is saying, book of Revelation. And everybody who really goes deeper in the book of Revelation, they're really passionate also. They're just passion. So when the Holy Spirit works in a person to convict sin towards repentance and, understanding of righteousness and living a life of righteousness and knowing the judgment that had already taken place, book of Romans and book of Revelation, things to come. There's a passion that comes, and I wrote it. I'm going to talk about this verse again later, but it says, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scripture to us? Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus were saying this when they were talking with Jesus on the road. And when Jesus was preaching the word or revealing himself through the Old Testament, there's a burning in the heart, they said. So when we come to God's word, do we have a burning sensation? Do we love the word to the point where, wow, the word of God is powerful. Whoa, it's speaking to me. It's penetrating. Oh my God, like a double-edged sword. We were talking about that, double-edged sword. The word of God is like a double-edged sword. And so when the Holy Spirit convicts people's heart of sin, righteousness, judgment, the word of God, it should lead us to passion. So let's pray that God would give us deeper conviction that leads to Holy Spirit passion. Well, in the Spirit, and we know, I don't want to do a whole study on the Holy Spirit, but in the Spirit is... Because that's even prophesied in the Old Testament. It was prophesied in the Old Testament. When regarding in those days, in that day, when Jesus comes and establishes the new covenant, God will place in them the word. No one needs to teach them about God because the Holy Spirit will teach them. But also in those days, the Holy Spirit will come, and it says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's not by human might and power, or even human, you know, organization, human government. Neither my might nor human power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. In those days, it's not by human power or earthly organizations, but it's by the Holy Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we talked about calling and gifts, you know, last week. And you might wonder, now, even if you have gifts, what if you don't have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, that means you're not saved. Anybody who believes in Jesus Christ receives the Holy Spirit. And so we do have the Holy Spirit. And we have gifts. But what if we're not full of the Spirit? What if we're not full of the Holy Spirit? Then what happened? We have gifts, and we can exercise some, but not to the fullest. Not by the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So another wisdom for the road I might need to give is that watch out not to exercise your abilities and gift on your own, not by your strength, because it could have some side effect. Sometimes if we exercise gifts, an ability which is a blessing from God, but it's not in the Holy Spirit, sometimes it could be for my glory. I exercise my ability, but I exercise it, you know, just to, for the wrong driving force of, you know, just I want to be recognized. I want to be noticed. And of course, if we're not full of the Spirit, we can't, because the gifts of the Spirit is when the Holy Spirit is full. So the fullness of the gifts cannot blossom when the Holy Spirit is not full in us. So there's definitely limitation if we don't live by the Spirit, if we don't do or serve the Lord, do the work of service by the Spirit, then different side effects can come. But our calling is not to use our gifts or work, do the work of service in my might and my power, but by the Spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through his Spirit who dwells in you. So if the Spirit of God dwells in us, then he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that power can also raise us up. Our mortal body, our spirit and soul can be healed. What that means is, you know, there's a many places where it says, the Lord will level the mountain, bring down the mountain, fill the valley, and make straight the crooked path. It's a common expression of when the Lord comes to do work in us, if there's a mountain, that means a pride. If there's a pride, God will level it. He will humble it. If there's a valley is kind of deep dip and is kind of seen as maybe, you know, depression. No, the valley is a depression. If a person is in depression or need of comfort, maybe hurt, the Holy Spirit could fill it. Holy Spirit wants to heal the wounds and the hurts and the brokenness of our lives. The Holy Spirit is supposed to humble people, but then it fills the valley of comforting and healing and restoring. And if our lives are crooked way, he wants to make it straight. So when the Holy Spirit comes in, he wants to resurrect us from these different areas of life. And if we experience more of the work of the Holy Spirit, he says he intercedes for us even with groaning too deep for words. Even if sometimes we don't know how to pray, we can believe the Holy Spirit is interceding for us in the areas that we need healing. He's already praying for us. And as he gives us word, we can pray with him. But when you believe the Holy Spirit comes in and he is doing the work of humbling, if you're proud, God will speak to you and he will kind of humble you. If you're wounded and hurt and you need some comfort, Holy Spirit wants to heal you. If your life is kind of crooked and going in wrong way, crooked. Okay, crook is like a crook. If your life is crooked, he wants to make your path straight. He wants to make your life a righteous life. No. And so we need to, definitely if you believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit came into you and he is already doing such a work. And we need to be healed and humbled and made straight in order to come with power, spirit, and deep conviction as well. So the Holy Spirit is the huge part of getting us ready, the messenger, to be able to come with power. So then the power. So there are seven power, but I have, how much time I have now? Oh, you guys didn't start the clock. I can assume maybe 30 minutes. And so in power, so what does it mean he came in power? Because of the work of the Holy Spirit in him and him being convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he was a man with passion. So he came first, obviously, in the power of the Holy Spirit. It says, and my message in 1 Corinthians, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but with demonstration of spirit and of power. And the kingdom of God is not about words, but about power, it says. So sometimes we like to talk, right? Us Christians, we talk a lot. We share a lot. Myself included. I could say many things in words, right? But really, what the kingdom of God is about is not about words, but is there a power behind that word? Is there a power in my life that is demonstrating what I'm saying? Like I said, I have little power and I want to grow in more power. So if we have received the Spirit, God wants to bless us even with power to be able to come, preach the message, share the word with persuasive words of wisdom, my own wisdom, but of power. That's what Acts 1:8 says, right? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So it's normal that when you receive the power, when you receive the Holy Spirit, the power comes. To be able to be a witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. How many of you believed in Jesus Christ? Okay, everybody believed. God gave you faith and you accepted, and Jesus is real. He is personal to you. If you did, Holy Spirit has come into you. Holy Spirit of power has come into you. Our new believers, congratulations. The Holy Spirit is in you. He's in there wanting to, fill you to bless you with power. Power to be able to do whatever God wills for you to do. All that the scripture calls us to do, Holy Spirit is there to help you to live it out. Amen? So first, when Paul says he came with power, he came with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is promised by Jesus. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes in you. Secondly, it's power of the gospel. Okay, by the way, these verses are not necessarily from 1 Thessalonians, but Paul's entire message there. And what he would most likely be referring to when he says power. So power of the Holy Spirit is what he's referring to. And then he came in with the power of the gospel because the message itself is pretty powerful. You know what? Even if the messenger is not very powerful, we who bring the message, if you go share the bridge and share the gospel clearly, people could accept Christ because the message itself, the gospel, is powerful. Does that make sense? Even if the person, you know, in fact, you know, I could testify that I sin one day and then I go out and evangelize. Somebody comes to Christ still. And I said, well, that's definitely not my power. Because I quenched the power of the Holy Spirit today because of my sin. One time I was, you know, had an argument with my sister. Oh, I felt bad. I was angry, expressed some anger, and came out and evangelized. I said, oh, I don't feel good. But I share it anyway. One thing is when you sin, sometimes we say, oh, I don't want to obey. If you don't obey because you sin, then you miss out. But even if you sin, if you do the right thing, if you do the next right thing, you know, what is it? Jesus came to the disciple. Could you not stay up 1 hour to pray? First time. He came back. He said, could you not stay up 1 hour? They fell asleep while Jesus was suffering in prayer. And then on the third time when they fell asleep and they woke up, Jesus said, get up, let us be gone. Jesus didn't allow the disciples, even though they failed three times, to mope in their failure. He said, get up, let's go do the next best thing. So anyway, when you preach the message, the gospel itself, no matter what condition you are, I mean, if you come with the power, spirit, and deep conviction, you have even a greater impact. But even if you would just share the gospel message, it has power. That's what it says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So the message itself has amazing saving power. To the point where Paul says, you know, some of the disciples came. These guys are, preaching for their own gain or something. That's fine. Let them preach as long as the gospel is being preached. Some people were preaching the gospel with wrong motives, wrong reason. But Paul says, let them preach it as long as the gospel is being preached. It's okay. There's some impact because gospel message has power, right? So let's see. Seyum, when you heard the message of the gospel that I shared to you in those folding paper, did you feel the power? Did you feel the power from me? Well, it's okay. You don't have to answer that one. But I'm sure you felt the power from the message, right? Yeah. Jackie, did you feel it when you heard the message?
Yeah, I'm from you.
Yeah, from me. Great. So even just from the message, Jesus died, resurrected, you can be resurrected too. Your sins can be forgiven. You know, you can have a relationship with God. Holy Spirit comes to you. It's powerful. So Apostle Paul came with the power of the Spirit, power of the gospel, and the next thing is power of God's word. Power of God's word. I told you about the Luke 24:32. Were not our hearts burning within us when he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture? When Jesus was talking to the disciples, opening the Old Testament scripture, they felt the power of the word. They were burning. They're experiencing the powerful burning sensation because the truth is so powerful. But there's another verse in Isaiah 55:10 and 11. Okay, let's see. Ethan, you are back from Hawaii, so you've been chilling out too much, so let's do some work. So go ahead and read Isaiah 55.
10 to 11.
Yeah.
For as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seeds to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes far forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
So it's talking about the word of God that comes out of the mouth of God going forth, even through his messenger, his prophets. So as the rain and snow falls from the heaven, it won't go back, maybe as a vapor. But it, snow and rain comes down, watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and furnish seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. So speaking about the word, when it goes forth out of the mouth of God and through us to other people, God's word has power, so it will make impact. Are you, when you have your quiet time or when you're memorizing verses, is it making impact in your life? You know, God's word goes into your heart, it will make impact. You know, sometimes we resist it, but you know, the word itself has power to make impact, and it won't return void. Either we respond in obedience to it, or we understand and we feel the impact, but we're rejecting it. But it is accomplishing its purpose. And the word of God is like a sword, double-edged sword, that it penetrates to the deepest part of our joints and marrows, dividing soul and spirit, the deepest part. The word of God goes deep because it's powerful. So when you hear messages from the word, hopefully I'm not adding my words too much, but if the word of God goes forth, you should be feeling the double-edged sword. Anybody feeling the double-edged sword this morning? Is the word of God penetrating? It should. The next one is power of personal testimony. It doesn't quite say it in 1 Thessalonians, but we see it over and over again. Three times, I think, Paul testified to his experience of meeting Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And each testimony actually goes deeper and deeper about his personal testimony. And his personal testimony, he shares to King Agrippa. Even he goes to before a king and he's able to share how he experienced Jesus on the road to Emmaus. It is powerful because nobody can refute your story. I met Jesus and this is what happened and my life changed. I was going in this direction, but I changed this direction. So this past, Friday before, we kind of stop our Bible study to just write our 3-minute testimony for the Friday group. What was the consistent comment as people were sharing, Bing Chin and whoever was there, Bozzy and Grant was there? Each time each person shared their testimony, the other guy said, oh, that was powerful. Oh, that was powerful. Right? Isn't that the common words we were using? Each person shared the testimony and said, oh, that was powerful. Different style of sharing. You know, Grant was kind of like public speaker with, poetic expressions. But it was pretty powerful. Bozzy over there, he's a kind of a, you know, soft, casual talker, but, you know, his story is pretty powerful. Big Shit over here, you know, he's a poet too. He's a liberal arts guy, so he knows how to say it very, like, intelligently, you know, Praise the Lord. But the story was powerful how they came to Christ. And I hope, you know, Seum and Jackie, as you continue to experience God, you will have a very clear testimony. I mean, you already have the testimony. But to tell your story to other people is pretty powerful. Well, Paul came with his personal testimony to the Thessalonians. So he came in the power of the Spirit. And what was the second one? Power of the gospel. Third one is power of God's word. Fourth is power of his personal testimony. He it says here to King Agrippa, "Oh King, I saw on the way a light from heaven brighter than sun shining all around me, those who were journeying with me, and those who were journeying with me. And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in Hebrew dialect." Didn't say that in the first testimony. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so Paul would use his testimony to, invite people to believe in Christ. So testimonies are powerful. So not only salvation testimony, but as you are obeying God and as you are drawing near to God, God is going to bless you with testimony. Did you hear my recent testimony? I was evangelizing and I met a dental school professor. And he said, you can get treatments done much cheaper if you come to USC. So I said, okay, I'm ready for that. It was burdening me. I was burdened by all my dental work I need to do. I have a lot of problems. But the Lord... as I was obeying the Lord, God provided for me. The next thing is power of modeling. This comes from Thessalonians. Thessalonians 1, 5 through 7 that we read. It says here, "You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." So we see actually three generations here. We see Paul, "You know how we lived among you for your sake." So they came to the Thessalonians not just preaching the gospel of love, but they were actually loving by working day and night, sacrificing to bring the gospel message to them. They were living out, modeling out what they wanted to teach them. And so the Thessalonians became imitators of Paul and the team and the Lord. And they welcomed the message in severe suffering with joy. You know why? Because Paul and the team were willing to preach the gospel while they were suffering, while they were being persecuted. So if the messenger was being persecuted and they were willing to bring the good news, the listeners, the Thessalonians, they were willing to listen to the message with severe suffering and responding that with joy and in the Holy Spirit. So it says here, because so that you became a model to all the believers. So Paul was a model to the Thessalonians. And the Thessalonians lived it out and then became a model to other people. So the power of modeling is huge. You know, this is one of the reasons why I joined up with the Navigators that I was part of. You know, I knew a lot of Christians going to church and different churches. But I saw that these Navigators were men of character. Men who really not only knew the word, but they were trying to do something about it. They were trying to obey God's word. So that really impressed me. So they model for me what it means to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. So in preaching the gospel, we cannot just come with words. We need to come with our life demonstration. Okay? Yeah, very good. There's much to say, But I need to grow in that even more so. So when Paul said he came with power, it's also power of the resurrection. Power of the resurrection, because Ming Chen, go ahead and read Philippians 3:10.
I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Philippians 3:10.
Yep. So the gospel message is about resurrection power. Just the power that it took for Jesus to be raised from death to life. How much power is that? How much power does it take to make a dead person to live? That's a lot of power. That power lives in all of us and can resurrect the deadness of our lives. Even though you believed in Christ, you've been completely forgiven, accepted by Jesus. You entered into a relationship with God. But we still have broken areas of our lives. How many of you agree? There's some areas in your life you still need to like be healed and resurrect from. Well, Holy Spirit wants to touch each one of those areas. And he wants to experience power of the resurrection in those areas. And so this is the hope we have. If we have been struggling with different things for a long time, and we might say, this has been too long, I can't overcome this. That's a lie. Because the hope we have is in the power of the resurrection, the amazing power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power is living in us by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is well able to resurrect anyone from their deadness to new life in Christ Jesus. So that's why Paul says, I want to know him and the power of the resurrection. So knowing Jesus meant to experience the power of resurrection, and it happens in the midst of fellowshipping and the suffering. Many times while we're suffering and being tested, that's when God can really work in us to resurrect us from our weaknesses. So as to be conformed to his death, and also to conform to the image of Christ. So Paul came in the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the gospel, power of the word. Power, what was the next one? Power of the word. Power of personal testimony. Power of modeling. And the power of the resurrection. And finally, yes, it's finally, in power and authority from Jesus. In power and authority from Jesus. Because Jesus gave authority to his disciples in, you know, Matthew 9 and 10 and Luke 9 and 10. And specifically in Luke 9, 1 to 3 says, okay, let's all read that together. Ready, get set, go. Before he sent out the 12 and also the 70, it's pretty clear Jesus gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healings. You know, Matthew 28, 19, 20, we know that so much, right? Go make disciples of all nations. But before that verse, 27 says, all authority has given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So Jesus is received the authority in the nations. In Psalms 2, he asked for the nations and the Father gave it to him. So the authority of the nation was given to Jesus. And Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. I give authority to you. Go and make disciples of all nations. And already in Luke 9 and Matthew, it says he gave 12, gave them power and authority over the demons to heal the diseases, sent out to proclaim the kingdom of God and perform healing. Authority over spirit, soul, and body. he has given to the disciples. So if you are a believer in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, you have this authority and power. You have this authority and power. But if you don't believe it, then you're quenching it. We need to remember and believe that authority and power was given to us over the demons to heal diseases, sent out and proclaim the kingdom of God, perform healing. And so he gave this authority and power, but also he instructed in Luke 10 what not to do so that you might lose power, authority. Don't put your hope on extra sandals. Don't put your hope on extra bag of money or extra bag of clothing. Or don't put your hope on people. Don't even greet somebody along the way. You need to go forth for the gospel. Don't put your hope on better life. You know, when the strangers come into town, it's a custom from Jewish culture to take them to their home. So what Jesus said, don't jump from the house to house for better treatment. If you go to the house, they welcome you, stay there. So, but hey, this house is not that cool. Not good food. I want some Chinese food. Or maybe not Chinese food. I want some, like, you know, Armenian food, Aramean food, you know, not Armenian. There's Persian food, you know. No, they're all Jewish food when they were there. So, but the point is, a way to lose power and authority is when our heart is hoping on these other things beside Jesus. He wanted to remove all these things so that our hope could be just on Jesus. So Jesus, trusting Jesus, Jesus could provide everything. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, and all these things will be given to you as well. Sayo, you can memorize that one? He memorized that one. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. You know? So Jesus wanted the disciples to just first focus on Jesus and trust him for the provision. Not to pursue the provision and I need this, I need this, and I need this to serve God. No, Jesus said, no, you don't have to, you don't need extra sandals. You don't need extra clothing. You don't need extra bag of money. When you run out, God will provide it if you trust Jesus. No, you don't need other people's encouragement. You know, along the way, you know, Jesus is your encouragement. Just go preach the gospel. No, you don't need a better, you know, life circumstances. Don't just put your hope on that because you're going to lose power and authority. And I also thought, don't go to seminary. If you put your hope on seminary, you're going to lose power and authority. Jesus gives me power and authority, not seminary. I mean, I hope to see maybe Bingchen is a classic type for a seminary. But it's not for power and authority. You already have power and authority from Jesus. Amen? And so to keep that power and authority, we need to hope in Christ alone. What is the name of our group? Campus group? In Christ alone. We need to put our hope in Christ alone to preserve the power and authority Jesus has bestowed upon us by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? So even you young guys, as you're starting off, you came from hoping in things in life. Oh, this is going to make me happy. This is going to make me successful. This is good. And I mean, it doesn't mean you shouldn't do those things, but pursue like school and career. But don't put that as a, don't think your grades, your school, and your career is going to make you happy. But it's when you hope in God and Christ alone. He will provide all these other things that you need. But your hope in Christ is where your satisfaction will be, and power and authority will come from that. I'm pretty sure you don't understand what I just said. But you will understand it. as you grow a little more. I was kind of concerned this morning. I'm preaching a kind of a mature message. I wonder how these young guys will take it. But I trust Holy Spirit will help you to get something. All right? So praise the Lord. I'm done. So what is the power that Paul is talking about? First one is power of Holy Spirit. Second thing, power of the gospel. Third thing, power of the word. Next, power of testimony, and so experience God more. And the next is power of modeling. And the next is power of the resurrection. And the last is power and authority from Jesus. Whoa, this is what we have, and we need to grow in more. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your word this morning, and to just remember Apostle Paul's statement to the Thessalonians that they did not come with words only, but with power, with spirit, and with deep conviction. And they only, and they did this by, Lord, even sharing their lives with them. How they demonstrated what they were preaching through their life. Working day and night and preaching at nighttime. To give their lives sacrificially so that they too might be saved. And because they received the word with power, spirit, and deep conviction and life testimony, this is what the Thessalonians imitated. And they too became a model for many thereafter. So Lord, in the same way, would you bless our church, our ministry, that we would be men and women not only know how to share the gospel with words, but that we would be able to come with a mature life of power, spirit, and deep conviction. With passion, Lord. Would you bless us with passion of your spirit? So that, Lord, the impact will go far. Just even as the Thessalonians, only after 3 weeks of influence, their faith reverberated through Achaia and Macedonia. May our faith reverberate to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.